Welcome to the AAA NFT podcast, all about affordable NFTs, bringing you from 0 to 60 in the non-fungible token world without breaking the bank, with your hosts Andrew, aka Rantom, and George from Mostly Stable on Zedrun, who will help you navigate new projects, interview expert guests, and explore NFT trends. So whether you're on your first or 50th NFT, we're going to have something for you. And as a quick note, we are not, I repeat not, financial advisors, and nothing in this podcast should be taken as investment advice. Alrighty, disclaimer over, let's get to it. This week on the podcast, we are talking about, guess what, affordable NFTs. And the theme of this episode will kind of be around the life cycle of an NFT project and kind of how the price fluctuates around that as well. Before we jump into it, Andrew, what's going on? You're headed to an NFT conference?
I am. Yeah, that's in actually not till early November, you know, which in NFT world is a long ways away. But yeah, it's NFT NYC coming up in the first week of November. Pretty excited for that one. It's the first time I'll be at that conference. It's been going on a few years, but it's the first time I've had a chance to go out there. And I think one of the first events that I'll have been able to go to in real life, which is a nice thing to get to do in this NFT world.
And I imagine there's going to be tons of drops and giveaways and things associated with going to an IRL NFT event.
Yeah, I think the people will play around with the in real life aspect to this and, you know, be able to let you mint things at different physical places, and, you know, hopefully some nice airdrops as well for those that are there. Wouldn't mind that. Yes, I am going to be there anyway.
So I think there's a huge pent-up demand for conferences, clearly because NFTs have exploded during a period of time known as the pandemic, where we weren't too keen on jumping into the same room, breathing the same air together. And it'll be interesting to hear. We'll have a reporter there. So
right, yeah, that is one other aspect that makes this a little interesting, trying to go to an in-person event. I haven't gotten to do that in general in a long time, so this will make it really special to get to do something after all this time and doing something the first time and with NFTs at a conference.
Yeah, and there's another massive one on the horizon, I think, in 2022 around VCon and Gary Vee and the work he's done with NFTs as tickets to his conference, which, by the way, the floor price on that is now like something ridiculous, like 20 ETH. And I'm like, how?
Those VFriends have really taken off, and he's brought a lot of new people into NFTs. God. It's been great to see. It wasn't one that I was all that interested in when it first launched. And I'm happy that it has been so successful and the people that have come in have been here to stay. That's great.
Yeah. He got a lot of new people in, and he made a lot of new people a lot of money on paper. Asterisk. I also missed it. I feel kind of silly for it, but I had my reasons. Anyway. The affordable project of the week. If you remember on the last episode, I was joking about the raccoon, the secret raccoon society, raccoon secret society. Yeah, that's it. Raccoon secret society, which kind of did a little rug pulling on their audience. If you remember, by basically nerfing all of the images, making them a pile of bones. They've since been resurrected with more of like, it seems like a zombie feel to them.
Yeah, I noticed that right as we were ending that last episode, that those weren't a pile of bones sitting there on the page anymore. So it looks like they have resurrected this. And I think it actually is part of the roadmap that you referred to that had the apocalypse written into it as well. So I'm not exactly sure how they revived them, but how in the story outline, I understand how they do it from a technical perspective. But it is interesting to see this.
Yeah, well, they got a lot of folks' attention. Maybe it was like a press stunt or whatnot. But on the analysis front, you know, looking at it, the floor price, which is just a fancy way of saying what's the cheapest stuff listed for, is at 0.02. So, you know, the risk here is that, you know, it goes to zero and you lose 0.02. you know, that checks the box for me on alpha potential, right? And there's like a good amount of upside if they're really starting to play with what it means to have an image that might change on the whim of a story and get attention, although they definitely pissed off a lot of people in a Discord from what I saw. I don't know. What is your take on this as an opportunity?
As you mentioned, it's obviously low downside. They are quite affordable in the NFT relative to NFTs at this point. I'm at 0.03. They can't go down much more. You know, looking, it's interesting that they have almost about 1,400 holders that hold the 3,333 pieces, which is actually a pretty good distribution. You know, it may be people that feel somewhat stuck with them, but they
do.
So
Andrew, how are you getting those data? Like, where are those numbers coming from?
So I'm pulling this from a dashboard that I've created on Dune Analytics. It's a tool that I use a lot to look at different projects, both specific projects, and get kind of an overview of the NFT sales that have been happening over any period of time. But right now I'm looking at the dashboard for Raccoons, and I think we can add a link to this in some show notes. And what I'm seeing is that, you know, the holder count obviously jumped at the beginning, and it took a little dip, and now it's kind of starting to climb again, which is a good metric. I would say in general, you want more people holding a project. Though in this case, you know, it's hard to know until the sales start picking up again, if that's, you know, due to a lack of buying or a hodler mentality among the collectors.
Yeah, it was pretty bold. It was pretty bold to do. I think, you know, risk reward wise, it's kind of funny. They have a roadmap 2.0 after the apocalypse, because their original thing literally had apocalypse in it, and they did it, and they have now created 2.0. And it seems more than just like a knee-jerk reaction of like, oh God, we're going to get sued. More like it was like actually kind of intentional and pretty funny. So they seem creative. I think I may go for it. There's nothing in my wallet now, but I may go get a raccoon. Oh God.
Well, you started it as a joke, and now you're about to buy a raccoon. It's not a pile of bones. Maybe it turns into something. You know, it is affordable anyway. You know, it's hard to know where it's going to go. But this is an example of how we kind of look at projects and, you know, try to take some sort of look at how they may pay off in the future.
There you have it. All right. I can't go down this rabbit hole right now, but I'm definitely checking.
And I can see the reflection in your glasses right now, George. You've got a lot of raccoons right there.
You got to be careful with these glasses. All righty. So moving into maybe a good kind of life cycle of NFT project and price. Can you just walk through the life cycle of what you've seen, a typical life cycle of an NFT project?
Well, you know, there's a few different ways that it can take shape. And part of that is the release mechanics and how the project is dropped. Generally, when it's a very low price drop and it's whether it's already hyped or it sort of gains some hype during the mint and it sells out quickly, usually see those kind of go up quickly, reach a point where maybe it's a lot of people looking to lock in some of their gains. And then when you see that, it's a lot of people that start selling. Generally with new projects, it's a relatively small number of people that end up with all of the pieces, at least compared to a more mature project that's had a chance to be distributed to a larger number of people. So you've got people that may be holding 5, 10, 20 pieces and have plenty that they feel like they can let go of. You know, they may be letting go of any of the pieces. They often will be letting go of, you know, some of the pieces that they may not be as interested in holding on to the long term. So when you see this, then you start seeing other people react to those sales often. And it can influence the people that maybe only have a couple, one, two, And convince them that the project may not be viable for the long term. I mean, that's something that I've seen a lot. Once you kind of get that low point out after the initial run up, is often when you'll see if the project is really going to make it or not. If that new low, kind of just sticks around and doesn't, you don't start seeing some buyers come in at some point, that's troubling. But if a lot of the times you'll see that you're going to get some of those people that have a lot of pieces, they'll sell off some, you'll get some more people coming in, the price will kind of move sideways for a bit. Well, you'll see good pieces being taken, maybe people not realizing some of the value that they do have in good pieces, just seeing that there's a floor that isn't where they'd like it to be, they get out of the project. Then people start realizing that there's fewer pieces on the market than maybe they had perceived, and things start moving a little faster.
Yeah, so here's what I'm hearing. There is a sort of pre-mint, pre-drop phase where community is either created, generated, fostered, or sometimes it's not. It's just a surprise, here it is. And if that, we'll call it the pre-drop phase, if that community has been built up on, normally it's Discord, because that is just the chosen socials of NFTs at this point. Obviously, crypto Twitter is there for promotion, but for that pre-mint phase, there's a lot of activity there, and that determines how quickly those mints go. So we were earlier episodes talking about how we couldn't get into the Omnimorphs drop because it had a very vibrant community before launching. And so it went so fast that we couldn't clicky-clicky fast enough. And then alternatively, when we talked about characters.digital, it didn't have as much momentum initially, so that when it dropped, it's been a slow minting process. Pros and cons to each of those pieces. And then I heard after the drop, there's this period of, we'll call flipping, FOMO, and maybe even buyer's remorse. And sort of like there's like initial hype that lasts, a day to a week. And then there's I've seen at least what seems to be this like trough, right? Where the floor, which is just, as we said before, fancy way of saying the things that you can buy now and you do sort low to high on OpenSea. So you do buy now, sort low to high, and you will see that is the floor. And it's also listed when you look at a project, the floor price, meaning what is the cheapest that I can get in on this project, ignoring all of the special properties and whatever of this project. And you're saying like at that point, that's the real point where I think a project is tested, it seems. And that's the point where, do you have a strong roadmap? Do you have actual marketing? Do you actually have a plan for this project? Or was it you find out quick, was it a pump and dump cash grab
by the owners, right? Right. Momentum has sort of run out and you need something new. You need something real. Sometimes that's just another catalyst to build more momentum, but hopefully it's someone that is building something real. And you've got, I think the term roadmap is said a lot, and maybe even too much credence is given to having a roadmap, but hopefully there's some execution that's happening and you can see that there's something there that the team has a vision that they're moving ahead with. Oftentimes holders have unreal expectations of how fast a project can move. Considering that it's a well-done project, should be a pretty big undertaking to begin with and to get it out the door, and then expect that the next phase of the project will be done, within the next few days is, it's unrealistic. And that does require some patience. It's not always the easiest thing, because some projects you see, they come out of the gates running and they never really look back. It does happen once in a while. VFriends, I'm sure they do all have that trough somewhere in there. But when you take the sort of bigger macro look at it, it almost looks like that never happened. And VFriends, as we've talked about before, was one that sort of just took off, as I remember. I didn't look at it too closely, but it was one that I looked away from and then looked back, and it was already over 5 ETH, and it's just continued to run. That's not common. And I think most projects are going to have a much bigger drop where it really tests whether you want to be part of that community. It's probably something that did help VFriends, and that he had so many people that had already been been Gary Vee fans for years, if not decades at this point.
Yeah, the other game mechanic there that you saw was that the things that people bought were actually entries, tickets to a conference. So immediately, you know, you could intuit that, well, wait a minute, I want the ticket to the conference. I'm not going to sell it for the floor, right? There is inherent value backed, and this is an important nuance, inherent value backed into what was launched there, but it is atypical. And getting back to what is more common and saying, like, when you're looking at a project, I think it's important to note where you are in this life cycle. Are you in this sort of trough of sorrow? Are you in this building phase where you're dark and you're like, all right, we're shaking out the weak hands of this project and just the committed people return. And, you know, early on is like one of the reasons I liked Zed Run, because I was like, holy cow, there's a group of people that have already been here, like at that time for 2 years, putting up with silliness and bumps along the road. And they were still there racing their horses and doing. I was like, oh, they've been here for two. You know, there's a sort of Lindy effect that takes over, meaning that, you know, calling up this idea that if you've been here for this long, you're probably going to be here for even longer because you have overcome the things that kill projects early on in it. So I think life cycle is really really important in evaluating whether you're going to jump into a project and understanding, you know, where the money is flowing and coming back to your dashboards that you create, super helpful. How many wallets? How many transactions? Like, you get some top level junk off of OpenSea, but you can't track things like when whales come in and out. Maybe you can share a bit more about that, like looking at when whales come in and out of a project in relationship to a life cycle.
So I can talk a little bit more about how whales come in and out. You know, often, I guess in general, whales often come in early in a project and buy up a whole lot of pieces. It's different for different players. People play this different ways. But when we talk about whales, oftentimes they do hold the hundreds, if not thousands, of total pieces, and are able to buy enough that they have a pretty good chance of maybe getting something extremely rare from a collection. So when they do that, they'll maybe buy up early, then sell off some to, you know, to the new collectors that missed out on the mint, but now are hearing about a project, you know, maybe get rid of some of the common pieces that they got or the not so rare, and then kind of let it kind of shake out from there. That's also another point where you see people maybe buying in more, whether it's somebody, a whale or just a savvy collector that is either missed out on the mint or has now seen an opportunity to maybe go buy up more of those pieces that are rarer to the collection. When people are shaken, maybe a little bit tended to stay in the project, looking at, you know, maybe if I get out now, it's only a little bit of a loss and I won't be so bad. And that's when other people may be buying in and getting those pieces, knowing that they don't necessarily need the liquidity, can hold it, and are ready for when the project does turn a corner.
Yeah, it's something that kind of mystifies me. It's much more your world, and it's a little confusing, right? Because they're going to be usually in early. And so there are, and keeping with the analogy of a whale, a lot of sucker fish that seem like they follow these whales around. Like, you bought this thing, I'm going to go buy it with no diligence whatsoever. And I go and grab it. And you're like, okay, that's one strategy. But to your earlier caution, one of our episodes, that you have to look at the size of their stack, meaning like, look at how many bets they're taking. And so the truth is, you're not a whale and you can't take all of those bets and spread them across for the upside. So you have to be, I think, a bit more judicious, but I always like it. It's always a good sign when I look at a wallet, I'm like, well, that seems like a massive collector and they're buying the thing I'm buying. Okay. Right.
Yeah, it does help. And it, you know, even if it's just a psychological thing, you know, emotion plays a lot in the buying and selling decision. And I think knowing where you are in the, you know, in the life cycle of the project can help maybe take some of the emotion out of that, that decision making of whether you should stick with a project for a longer term or get out while you can.
All right, there you go. I think that was an awesome discussion. And we'll try to call in where we are in our life cycle, or where we best guess we are in our life cycles when we're helping you decipher some of these affordable projects. Andrew, thank you again.
All right, thanks. Mostly stable.
This has been an episode of the AAA NFT podcast, all about affordable NFTs. The episode notes and resources may be found at 3ANFT.com in our show notes. Again, 3ANFT.com. And that reminder, don't bet what you can't afford to lose. Remember, we are not financial advisors, and nothing in this podcast should be taken as investment advice. Thanks for joining us. Hope you learned something.